Landlords, whether you own one rental property or hundreds, you want to run a profitable business because your future depends on it. Education is the key to opening doors. Your success depends heavily on knowing and complying with dozens of rules while balancing the need of the business for profit. This show lets you listen in on conversations that various landlords have regarding real stories that are posted on our forums. Now come join in on the conversation. And happy landlording. Being a landlord, it's a tough business, but it has many rewards. Many of us enter the business by one of two ways. We either chose to be a landlord or we were forced to be a landlord. Those that were forced to be a landlord typically have a story where they bought a house, they had to move because of a job or a medical, and they're over under, so they can't sell their home. So now they're faced with the issue of negative cash flow. To save a little bit of money here and there, they feel like they can't hire or afford a property manager. So then they become what I like to call a DIY landlord, do-it-yourself landlord. Some of those guys get lucky and they find a good tenant and things go well. Some, more often than not, it doesn't go well. It horribly goes wrong because they enter landlording with the wrong mindset. Gosh, landlording can't be that hard. You just cash a rent check. Everyone's nice. I'm a good guy. I'm nice. Everyone takes care of everything. They know the consequences if they don't pay their rent. It'll be fine. Wrong. See, what many don't understand is that bad tenants target DIY landlords. They know that DIY landlords don't know how to fully do a background check, don't know how to really do an eviction, and they're easily to be intimidated or fear. You're able to use bullying tactics to fear the DIY landlords because they don't know the boundaries of landlord and tenant relationship. Then we have the others that chose to be landlords. We all watched a presentation, we all read a book, or we listened to someone that inspires us because they're now successful. So this gets us off our booties and we start going, yes, let's shoot for the moon and become millionaires. Actually, it's kind of why I joined landlording. I was hoping that it'd be a supplement to my lifestyle. I was hoping it'd add to my retirement so I'd have a good retirement because I have to do more than just a 401k for our generations now. We no longer have those healthy pension checks anymore. So due to our passions and our dreams, we enter the world of landlording with our hearts and our passions, and we go full-fledged into it headstrong. But we need to stop and do what I like to say, use your brain a little bit, because rentals is a business. It takes work. It's not instant gratification. It feels like it at times because it literally in 60 days, you can own a property. That's how fast it takes to close on a property. However, the reality is it takes years to build wealth and accumulate wealth that actually is something you can work with. So Eric, my husband and I, we've been a landlord for 2 decades. We also have some scary stories. For example, I had a single family home and it was rented to some Katrina victims. And it seemed like a really good deal because the Katrina victims had insurance and they had government assistance, which basically paid for 5 years of their rent. So I knew that with these particular tenants, we would have pretty much headache free as far as the rent goes. Well, on Christmas Eve, I received a phone call from the neighbor saying, hey, sorry to call with bad news, but the tenants that just moved into the property, they're not here and your house exploded and it caught a little bit of my house on fire too. What are you doing about it? Luckily, I had a couple things to help me out. First was I was first with the reaction of, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I'm crying, I'm sad, I'm angry, I'm all these mixed emotions all at once. But I took my grandmother's advice that you always wait 24 hours before you start making decisions and taking actions because you're too emotional to the situation. So I waited. The next day, I started returning phone calls with the property manager. I started making insurance claims and getting my paperwork from the fire department. and trying to figure out all that's going on. Because the house was also in a weather storm, which was a 3-inch ice weather storm, it made it even more difficult with trying to figure out how to find contractors to fix the place, also get the place under control, so that way the insurance company could make their determining decisions about matters. So we have a house that's half exploded, pipes that have busted and broken, all on a concrete slab, with Katrina victims that are now on Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, stuck in a hotel again with another disaster. So I'm worried about lawsuits and so forth. The good news, the other good news to this situation is that before the tenants moved into the property, I had decided to do a full-blown inspection. I had the furnace inspected and cleaned and all the repairs finished. I had the dryer vents cleaned so I wouldn't have any issues there. I also had the fireplace inspected and cleaned and all repairs made. Literally a few months before they moved into the property and before this became an issue. So because of that, I was able to get the insurance company to pay for everything, minus the deductible, which hurt me at the time because at the time I had just moved to Alaska and didn't have a job, only had savings and just a resume to my name. So that kind of compiled to the stress of the story. You know, another story I have, and I feel like I need to tell you these stories so you realize that I'm a landlord in the same shoes as you guys are, trying to figure out where to go and what to do next. So this next story involved every bit of aspect of property management and landlording and creative everything. So I had bought a house that was built in 1920 and I remodeled it. During the remodel, I had to learn about asbestos and lead base and knob and tube wiring and do all these upgrades and updates to the home. After we renovated it, we found a tenant that we placed into the property. The tenant had two contracts. One was to rent it and one was to buy it. Luckily, we were smart enough to have two contracts. A few months after they moved in, we received a letter in the mail from the city saying, "Your building is now condemned. You cannot let anybody live in this property. You got to get them out right now. It's condemned because it has no utility services to the property." So I immediately called the utility companies and I since discovered that the utilities were not onto that property, but somehow had service. And what had happened is the tenants went around to other properties in the area and stole the meters from other properties to put onto this property. So they had electric and water and heat and all this stuff. So now I was not only facing the city with a condemned property, I was also facing utility fraud for a property because I am in charge of the meters for the house. And then I had to start doing an eviction because the tenants realized everyone was coming down and not paying rent anymore. Finally got past all that. And then we opened up the property and could barely open up the door because they had put so much stuff in that place. It was literally floor to ceiling, including some goodies in the attic. Hence why they kept breaking back in to get to their goodies in the attic, if you get my hint. And we had to come up with a game plan of how to renovate a property again while we were still stuck with the bills from the prior renovation and stuck with city fines, utility fines, and so forth. So after using my network of landlords, calling around, came up with some ideas that this property was in a particular location where things disappear. So we cleaned out the property, put some of the stuff in the dumpster, put some of the stuff at the curb, wrote the word free, and by morning, all the stuff was gone. We probably would have had a bill for 16 huge, large dumpster hauls, but because we used this method, we only had to pay for 6 dumpster hauls. Then we renovated the place, re-rented the place using a professional property manager at that time. And we rented it for 7 years, positive cash flow, no problems, got the bills paid, and made very good money on that one. So what got Eric and I through those stories and many more that you'll soon find out about is we had to be vulnerable and admit that issues happened and things happened, whether we were smart about it or dumb about it. And we had to ask our fellow landlords, our network of landlords, what did they do? What ideas did they have? What strategies did they have? So it helped us get through the situation by picking up our britches and starting over again and again and again. Most say no to landlording because of the horrible stories, the thick skin you have to have, and so many other reasons. What those people don't know is the rewards and the lifestyle that it brings. So some of our stories that Eric and I, we literally packed our bags and moved to Alaska to have a new front, a new start. This crazy story where all we had was cash in the bank and resumes, which when we got here, we rented a tiny little bedroom in the basement of a guy's house, and we thought it was going to be finished. Apparently it's not finished. When we showed up, it was a unfinished basement with studs, roof, slab floor. That was it. So we paid our $300 rent and stayed there for a while because renting a true one-bedroom apartment would have been $1,000. Past a decade and a half of working really hard, we now live in a lifestyle that is breathtakingly dreamy, amazing, however you wish to call it. We live in a house that has land, that has a garden, has two driveways. One driveway for the cars and one driveway for our airplane that backs to an airport. So we get to fly from the garage of our house to the runway and off Alaska bound to see and smell and fish and hunt and whatever we feel like doing. So rentals has pros and cons. And it built the lifestyle that Eric and I wanted. And it can do the same for you. But to give credit where credit's due, it all happened because we had the inspiration and we surrounded ourselves with a network of landlords to get there. So speed up a little bit to where we are today. We had several rentals that we like to manage, and we decided that we would like to help others. We don't want to just do us. We want to help thousands of other landlords. And it came in two ways. The first one was we bought a franchise called Real Property Management, and our office is the Alaska in Anchorage, Alaska, in Wasilla, Alaska, and it's called The Last Frontier. That office today currently manages for over 500 landlords, and we typically add somewhere around 100 new additional landlords a year. That's a lot of people we get to help and participate in. The other way we decided to help is we created a forum of landlords helping and being a resource for other landlords. On that particular list, it's a few thousand landlords that are networking and working together and being a resource for each other. I like to joke that property management or landlording business in general, it's about 80% people and 20% property. If all we had to do was manage the property, it'd be so easy. I mean, all you have to do is say, door, build door, done. Clean carpet, done. It's like a to-do list. It's super easy. However, the 80% of dealing with the people is the hard part, because you have to manage the tenants, the professionals, and in some cases, landlords. It's other people's houses, not just my rental that I'm managing. So yes, landlording is a business. Yes, landlord takes years to grow and establish and build. And what I also like to say is landlording is a science. I like to describe it like this. Take a boiling pot of water, and you have to make this boiling pot of water be this amazing dinner that many people will want to eat and feel full and satisfied and happy. But the things that you have to mix in that boiling water is local laws, federal laws, the people, tenant, vendors, neighbors, professionals such as maintenance guys, insurance, tax, lawyers. Then you have to sprinkle in some experience and hard knocks of the world, and then sprinkle in some education. And then it comes out as this gooey, soupy thing that hopefully makes everyone happy. So that's why property management is now a degree at most colleges. It's not easy anymore. It's not something that you can just collect a rent check on. You have to enter it with a mindset of it being a business, and you have to be prepared for the tough side of it so that way you can be a profitable landlord and you can have a future. So in order to make this happen, you want to be working in a network of landlords that is a resource for each other, that And that alone will be your keys to success. So as full disclosure, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a tax person. I just happen to be a landlord who happens to own properties in many different states and happens to own a property management company here in Anchorage, Alaska that manages for hundreds and hundreds of people. And I happen to also run a forum that connects landlords so you guys can be a resource for each other, because I learn from it and I hope everyone else will learn as well. So I welcome you to all the landlord conversations we'll be having on this podcast. Happy landlording. Thanks so much for listening today. I appreciate it a lot. If you enjoyed this episode and many more to come, then start jumping in on the conversation. Come to our website, sign up, and start chit-chatting with others about your stories or help others through their stories. The website is www.thelandlordsalmanac.com. Hope to see you there, and I'll begin chatting with you as well.